Blog Talk Radio.
In my life, I've seen it all, and now it's time for me to pass on this knowledge to you, all my sisters, my troubled sisters. This is my gift to you.
Been many days, couldn't take the pain that I could take my life away. Seen every day in every other young sister's face. See, I'm crying now, my bills are down, running in the street, so self-esteem, thinking that used to be me. What a shame.
Damn, life is a mother, it's hard to sit back and see the same thing that happened to me, happened to you.
Today is October the 23rd, 2010, and I am your host, Diva Mary Kay, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington, and all over the world. Now, today is Step Your Game Up Saturdays, and today we're going to be talking about domestic violence. Domestic violence is a very, very serious topic and a serious situation, but on today we're going to be talking about that on the show. Now, at the top of the hour, I just want to give a moment of silence for the men and women who lost their lives to domestic violence, followed by a prayer. And I pray, Lord, today I cast all my cares on you, Lord, knowing that you can handle them, Lord. I know that you care about me and my brothers and my sisters and my children and the children that's not even mine, and will bless us with the things that we need each and every day. Amen. Now, again, we're going to get into the topic today, domestic violence. But before I do that, I want to give much deeper love to my sponsors. Today's show is sponsored by Future Guru 100, $8 daily, MaryKay.com, Mr. Keith Mollett, and our new sponsor, the Mommy Moms. I'm so thankful for my sponsors, and I always got to give them a big round of applause. While we have a little bit of technical difficulties, but I still want to give them a big round of applause. I'm so thankful for my sponsors because they make it happen each and every day, and they come through. Now, I want to bring to y'all this story, and well, actually, it's an article, and it's by Nasina Burden. And if I'm saying your name wrong, I apologize. The first name is spelled N-S-E-N-G-A, Nasina Burden. And she's talking about a young lady by the name of Nikki Masadden. Now, in 2009, in Charlotte, North Carolina, let me go back here. It says Nikki Masadden in 2009 in Charlotte, North Carolina, based U.S. Airway employee, had gone to South Carolina to break off a relationship with her boyfriend, Theodore Manning, whom she had met online. Now, she met this man online. Manning shot her in the back of the head, called another girlfriend to help him dispose of McFadden's body. They put her lifeless body in her car, set it on fire, and then went home and had sex. Then went home and had sex with his girlfriend. Now, what she's saying in this story says, you might have missed this case since the media was focused on Bonnie Sweeten, the 38-year-old crack pipe in Philadelphia mom who told police that she and her daughter had been abducted by two black men, when in fact she had taken her daughter to Disney World. This woman's lies prompted a national search of media frenzy while McFadden's body laid burning in her car. No one knew McFadden's whereabouts for weeks, and the national media did not get involved in the search as they did with Sweeten, who was actually lying. Manning took a plea deal, receiving 30 years for killing McFadden, a woman who was merely trying to break up with him. And McFadden, the guy was sentenced, but, you know, going back to domestic violence, how crazy is that this young lady lost her life. And what Burton, the one that posted the story, is bringing life of is that not only was she a domestic violence victim, but what this person is saying is, you know, invisible women, black women in domestic violence, what their opinion is, or what the person's opinion is, you know, black women don't get enough media attention when they're either murder or caught up in a domestic violence situation. But this is very, very horrible. This is one of the stories that I will be talking about today. But it's sad that she met the guy online, and she went to break off the relationship with him, and he ended up shooting her in the back of the head. And it's sad that it doesn't matter if she was black, white, Korean, Chinese, yellow. I don't really concern about what ethnic background she is, but I'm just saying that the media didn't expose this story. He should have been caught. If not even him should have been caught, but he should have been caught a lot earlier than what he was. It took them a minute, but they was more focused on this lady, Bonnie Sweeten, which she said that her and her daughter was abducted by two black men. And, in fact, she took her daughter to Disney World. That's really, really sad. And domestic violence is something that we definitely do not want to play with. And I'm glad that I played the song by Mary J. Blige, "You Can't Keep a Good Woman Down." I'm still with you. Mary said it, I'm still with you. All my trouble sisters, it don't matter what you're going through. Don't think that you're the only one that's going through something. But domestic violence in the home, outside the home, it really doesn't matter. you have to start standing on your ground. Because if you don't stand on your ground, this could happen to you. This is just one of millions and millions and millions of stories. I was looking at the nationaldomesticviolence.com, and they had on there that at least 21,000 calls a month they receive either from domestic violence victims or either from family members that's really, really, really concerned about, you know, their family member and being assaulted or either being attacked in domestic violence. I definitely want your opinion on the whole domestic violence situation. If you have a story, you can air it live right here on Diva Spot ENT Radio. Or if you want your opinion, call in at 347-850-1521. Again, that's 347-850-1521. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Rocka Block, you on the line?
Yeah, definitely. What's good? What's good, E?
Hey, Rocka Block, I thank you for
Hello.
Calling in. Rocka Block is definitely a big supporter of Diva Mary Kay, and I thank you so much. You know, the good thing, I'm just thinking, Rocka Block, what's your opinion, you know, on this topic right here, domestic violence? How about the young lady, her name is Nikki McFadden. We want to be the voice sometimes. We want to be the voice of Nikki McFadden today. Did you hear the story?
Yeah, no, I read the story online. I got
Great.
It from, I got it from online on Facebook. I saw that what happened was crazy. Is this the same woman that went to break up with her boyfriend? Is that
yes.
that one?
She went to break up with him, yes.
I mean, you know, you could have did that. She could have did that on the phone, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you gotta hide the truth. You can't always tell the truth about everything, even if you want to, you know, because her truth was to break up with him. She
mm-hmm.
probably wanted to do it in a peaceful manner or whatever and go over there and pretty much just say, you know, it's over. But she didn't want to do it in a bad way to where they would have a big fight about it. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
we don't necessarily know what happened, but sometimes, you know, like, let me give you a story. A married couple, they go on a cruise or whatever, you know, and they hanging out and they having a good time, and then the wife, you know, she finally decides that, you know, since we married now and we having a good time, we love each other, listen, I slept with your best man a long time ago. I didn't think it was the right time to tell you, blah, blah. But then again, that was the wrong time to tell him, too, because now since he didn't know, you know, they got back home or whatever, and he ended up killing him because of it. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you just got to hold on to your truth. You can't tell, you know, it's not always a good thing, especially in her whatchamacallit, situation. You know, you was far away. You should have stayed there, called him, texted him, or whatever, and then that would have been it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying she deserved it, but you could have avoided it. You could have avoided any kind of beef. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure she didn't know that it was going to go that far, but
mm-hmm.
she could have avoided any conflict just by texting them, whatever, you know, just like that. So that's how I feel about it. That's your choice.
Well, I definitely thank you for your opinion on that, Rocka Block. I'm going to keep you open on the line throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's a ways because I don't think if she knew that he was going to shoot her, you know, and she would have went down there to break up with him. And you can't break up with a person over the phone. And it has been situations where, you know, the person that's broke up over the phone and, you know, the person still come back and kill him. It's the individual that has the problem. You know, it's sad that her life was taken, but, you know, just to put the salt in the wound, not only did he shoot her in the back of the head, him and his girlfriend, his previous girlfriend that he had, end up, you know, putting her in her car and setting her on fire and then went home and had sex. That's crazy.
Mm.
And I say that to say, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, I know my mate or whatever. Do you really know the person that you with? you know, it start off as a little dispute. You got an attitude. You're not talking to him. He ain't talking to you. To, oh, y'all exchange some words, and he say something to hurt your feelings. You say something to hurt your feelings. It's steps, like it's levels that go into domestic violence. And I'm going to say to, you know, all the people that's listening, all the women and the men out there, you know, if you in a home and if you get so mad at your mate about something that you feel like physically hitting them, slapping them, punching them, hitting them with something, you need to reevaluate your situation. You need to think about it. Can I be detrimental to this person or could I be detrimental to myself? And then at the same time, if you have the children in the home, people, we got to remember this. These kids are sponges. They're recorders. They record everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we act, and they always listen. As soon as they hear a loud voice or a little bit of loud, their ears tune in. Their ears tune in. When you think they're not listening, you think they're watching cartoons or you think they're sleeping, they're not. They not sleep, and they in their rooms or wherever they is, and their hearts is pumping. But the thing about it is, if you and your mate is arguing in the house, you are teaching your kids to do the same thing when they get older. Let's think about that. Am me fussing and fighting in front of my kids, am I teaching my child to not be able to control their emotions? Am I turning my child into one day that my child will be a murderer? We got to think about that. I'm not saying that everybody is cookie cut family, like we picture perfect family, but if it gets to the point that you arguing too much with your spouse, if y'all just going back and forth, I would suggest that you guys, first of all, take it to the Lord. If your man getting on your nerves, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, right in the middle of you saying, like, you know what, I should F you up right now, stop and say, God, give me the strength to be able to stay focused on the things that you have for me. And if this situation is not for me, remove me.
I was going to say that too, E. It's a spiritual thing. Sometimes you see a red flag in your mate and you ignore it. You know what I mean? Something crazy. You know what I'm saying? And you just think to yourself, like, oh, that ain't nothing. Like, I just saw that, but I ain't going to do nothing. You know what I mean? Because I know what's going down later on tonight. You know what I mean? We kind of overshadow the red flags with the pleasure that we get from our mates. And that's something I don't do anymore because you see what's going on in the world. Women are killing men are killing women, children, everything. So I don't ignore none of the red flags that I see no more.
And you're right about that. You start making excuses for your mate's behavior. You start making excuses for the person that you with because you want to be with them and because you don't want to be alone. You know, just as well as women are domestic violence, you got men that's domestic violence victim as well. It goes both ways. And, you know, and I can't relate to that. I've never been in a physical abusive relationship, but I have been in an emotional abusive relationship. Domestic, you know, violence, it's not always physical. It can be emotional as well. But I remember I had made excuses for my ex, like, you know, he's going to get himself together, you know, he's going to stop going in and out of jail, he's going to stop committing crimes or whatever the case may be. But what was I teaching my son? You know, this man was coming into our life for a period of, what, 2 or 3 months and going back out? You know, and that can condition to my son. Even, you know, I asked my son one day, you know, when you get older, you gonna have a wife. He was like, I don't want to have a wife, mommy, because I don't want her to leave me. He was in fear that his wife was going to leave him because the current relationship that I was in he was in our life for a couple of months and gone for 18 months, then back in our life. Like, it was very, very dysfunctional, and I was just making excuses for this man that, you know, we're going to get married, we're going to own businesses. You know, I had higher expectations for the person that they didn't have for themselves. And that's one thing I want y'all to look out for. You know, sometimes your expectations for your mate is higher than what they have for themselves. If you're sitting back saying, why don't you go to school and, You can go to school and work part-time or, you know, come to church or whatever the case may be, and they not taking that initiative themselves, and you've been with them for 5 years, I don't think nothing is going to change. Let's not even go 5 years. Let's go a year. You'll be end up wasting precious time with this person. You'll be wasting precious emotions with this person for no reason. And I guess Nikki McFadden got to the point where she couldn't deal with this man anymore. She decided, like, you know what, this is not for me, and I don't want to be with this man no more. But it's sad that, and that's one thing I want to say about the whole media situation, is something so horrific like this happened, and the media didn't say anything. I'm sure that it had some type of coverage because I wouldn't have been able to Google it online, but this should have been headline news. If you hear your neighbor arguing or whatever the case may be, sometimes we get conditioned to it. Oh, they always fighting. They always going through. They always wilding out. You know, even in a relationship, we get conditioned to it. We always arguing. We always fighting, but nobody want to let go. Nobody wants to get out of this dysfunctional relationship, and it's crazy. It's crazy. Domestic violence is nothing to play with. I've definitely lost a very, 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 my sister. I lost my oldest sister to domestic violence. And it was hard for me to deal with, you know, being so young. But the story with her was she was in, you know, a domestic violence situation. She beating on him, he beating on her, and she had two beautiful daughters. And one night, you know, they was fussing and fighting or whatever the case may be, and the girls were so used to hearing it. And he ended up beating her to death in the room next to where her daughters were sleeping at. He beat her to death with his hands. He beat her in her head to death. And we kept saying, my father kept saying, my older sisters kept saying, this is my sister or my father. So they just kept telling her to get out. Leave that situation alone. You know, why don't you leave him? He ain't no good for you. He ain't no good for the kids. He's choking you out in front of the kids, punching you in front of the kids. Why don't you leave? And she didn't leave. She never got a chance to get out. I know it's very frustrating in knowing someone that's in an abusive relationship, you knowing someone that's in a dysfunctional relationship, and you want them to get out of that situation. You want them to do better for themselves. And, you know, that's what Diva, I'm here today. Diva Mary Kay is here today to give you a couple of tips and pointers and help services on how to deal with domestic violence if you're in that situation or you know someone that's in that situation and you want to help them out and you don't want this to happen to them. I'm going to get into some music right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to get into some Erykah Badu, Window Seat. It's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You're now tuning in live to Diva Spot ENT Radio. Y'all stay tuned.
your attention. Yes, I need you next to me. Oh, I need someone to clap.
Diva Mary Kay, you are now tuning in live to Diva Spy ENT Radio. And at the top of the hour, we are talking about domestic violence. And y'all know what time it is. Every Saturday is Step Your Game Up Saturdays. And we stepping our game up today. We're talking about domestic violence and making an awareness of it. Now, before I went into Erykah Badu, that was just Erykah Badu, window seat. Sometimes we all need a window seat, and I know. Sometimes I definitely need a window seat, but I want to give y'all some information about if you know somebody that's a domestic violence victim, whether men or women in a bad situation, or you're a friend of someone, you can call this National Domestic Violence Hotline, and it's 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233, or either 1-800-799-SAFE. You can get all the detailed information on my blog spot at www.blogspot.com. Matter of fact, excuse me, it's www.divaspotent.blogspot.com. I'm definitely going to post it on my Facebook as well as my Twitter so you can be able to get the story and the information. But you want to step your game up and take that first step to get out of that situation. I know a lot of people be like, a lot of women and men that I know are like, oh, this person is crazy. You know, he might kill me or she might kill me. But if you have that might factor in your mind, it would not hurt for you to get help. We had, I think it was I was talking about it last week on the show, where a male, him and his wife in Riverdale, they was getting divorced. He was stalking her. He was very possessive. He was very abusive. And he ended up not only shooting his woman, but he shot her four kids as well and killed himself. And he didn't do anything to his biological kids, which I'm very happy about. But I was talking about the story last week on the show. I think it was Friday, even Saturday. But it got so worse that, you know, he ended up killing his lady, killing her four kids, and killing himself. It's not going to hurt you to try to get some help. And, again, you know, you definitely want to reach out to 1-800-799-7223. Now, for the people who know somebody that's in a really bad situation, or is, you see the signs of abuse towards the women or the children or whatever the case may be, it's certain ways that you can go about helping. First thing you want to do is educate yourself. Call that number and educate yourself. Be that advocate for them. You know, you want to call and you want to get some information. You don't want to just go and just say, look, and, oh, this girl is over here and y'all need to come check it out. No, understand the process of helping somebody that's in a bad situation, because we all know people that have been beat down, cut out, strung out, put out, and they still go back to that individual that did that to them. And, you know, I don't want you guys to get frustrated starting off helping someone that's in that current situation and give up the race in the middle when you think nothing has happened. So definitely educate yourself first, and then go into, you know, telling the young man and young lady they need their confidence built back up. Because either that person that they with, husband, wife, boyfriend, or girlfriend, or the family, the past history has conditioned them to thinking that they're not beautiful, they're not handsome, they're not smart, they're too fat, they're too dumb, they're lazy, they never going to be anything or being anybody. I definitely want your opinions and I want your stories. Call in at 347-850-1521. Again, that's 347-850-1521, and I will be glad to hear your stories and your comments. I'm going to go ahead and open the line up. 908, Nedra, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, Nedra, I'm glad you called in. Welcome to the show.
I've been in since the beginning. I just was listening. And what it is a lot, when you spoke about children being exposed to this, that's key, because what happens is it becomes a generational thing if not broken. If a couple, a man or woman, no matter if they're married or not, if they are having problems with fighting, arguing and fighting, and the children are exposed to this, these children are being conditioned to have this sort of relationship when they get grown. The boys are being conditioned to become women beaters or wife beaters or woman beater. The girls are being conditioned to accept being beaten. And then when they get grown and they get into a situation, you know, the cycle starts repeating, you know. And it's hard to reach them. And I think just about every family, maybe not immediate, but extended family or close friend, we have someone or we know someone that's in a situation like that.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. And if you're a type of person where you're not going to allow someone to beat you, then it makes you furious. Yeah. Now, the incident with the young lady that unfortunately lost her life, Nicole, that you mentioned in the beginning.
Nikki McFadden.
Of course, I'm a bit older than maybe some of your other people who have called in or who may be listening. I don't feel this internet dating thing. It's, you know, it's too easy for someone to paint themselves in any kind of way they want, and it'll take a longer time once you meet them to find out. First of all, if you survive the first meeting, because you don't know what kind of, you don't really know who or what you're meeting when you start these internet relationships or online relationships. If
right,
you meet
right.
a person and you start dating them, you got this built up preconceived notion of what they fed you. It takes a long time for you to break through that, for you to start seeing what's real.
Mhm.
Okay. Now mm-hmm. there had to be something there for her to say, no, I need to break this off. 'Cause she was picking up or sensing something. We don't know. And fortunately, she's not here to tell us. Or she didn't tell anyone, you know, what was going on. And a lot of times, when you're a young single woman, or for women, period, even if you're so much just going out, it's not good to go anywhere and you don't let somebody know where you're going.
Let alone go by yourself.
Especially if you're going by yourself and you're going to be meeting some man. Especially mm-hmm. if you're going to try and break some relationship off with somebody that you got some kind of flag going on.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part of it is that another woman, and she's totally sick. She's just as sick, if not sicker, than what he is, to help someone dispose of a body, knowing what they did, and then you go have sex with them. See, we got some sick people in the world, and they happen to embody male and female bodies. So you just got some sick people walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, personally, I'm against relationships when, you know, these dating relationships and meeting people online and all that kind of stuff, because you don't know what you're opening yourself up to.
And you definitely right about that as far as meeting online and online dating. It's one of the new fads that's going on. It's supposed to be easier, you know, how they had Match.com and all this stuff. And you definitely right about a person can fabricate who they are. I can say that, you know, I'm a millionaire. I can say I'm literally a millionaire and take pictures and fix and crop the background to say, like, I'm in Paris or France somewhere. Or I can say that, you know, I'm 5'6" and I'm 120 pounds, knowing damn well I'm 5'7" and I'm 183. And that's what people, you know, they do hide behind. And we were talking about that yesterday with the whole CEO entrepreneur thing, people talking about they go-getters and they not. They just hide behind these screen names. And it's very, very dangerous with the online dating. It's crazy. And it can also be dangerous as well as with knowing a person. And that's one of the things that Margaret Allen found out. Margaret Allen, a.k.a. Missy, you know, she ended up, she was killed by her boyfriend, who was a former client of hers. His name was Calvin McKellen, and he was found guilty of strangling Allen and then dumping her body in the Connecticut East Coast. He was also found guilty in the shooting death of Jermaine Evans. Prosecutors said that Evans was killed because he was going to testify against McKellen. Evan was, even though the scandalous details surrounded this case, the defense attorney murdered by her former client and boyfriend, you know, murdered by a former client and boyfriend, the case was got a little bit of cover. Now, here you are having a prosecutor. She was a defense attorney. Excuse me, not prosecutor, but here you have a defense attorney that was dating her client. The client was her boyfriend. She knew this man. She knew the stuff was going on about him. She knew who he was. You know, Margaret Allen, she knew what was going on with him, but he ended up killing her. And not only did he
This is another thing about women. Women need to exercise good judgment. But a lot of times, people can make progress in their professional life, but never get over, never get to a certain point in their personal life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, if you could investigate, a lot of it can stem back to something in their childhood or some kind of way they came up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you overcome it in some, in one way, but you don't overcome it in another.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, you know, having a wholesome, as wholesome, we're not talking about fairyland now, because let's be real, people are going to have different opinions. They're going to disagree. But the,
mm-hmm.
the thing of it is to try and not do it in front of your children.
Mm-hmm.
Try to take it somewhere else. Take your disagreement, you know, wait till they go to bed, go in a different part of the house, and try to keep some sense of civility in your dispute. When you
mm-hmm.
lose that sense of civility, somebody needs to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, women, because we can become so needy of what some of us, for I don't understand it, we just think we cannot live without a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be a perfectly healthy, normal individual without any kind of sexual things and live without having a man.
And that definitely does happen, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to say that that definitely does happen in a lot of relationships, and that's one of the formulas to domestic violence. We talking
mm-hmm.
about, for those who are just tuning in, we're talking about domestic violence and, you know, what's going on. We just was talking about the young lady. Her name was Margaret Allen. She was defense attorney, and she was killed by her boyfriend that was her client. But my thing is with domestic violence, if a person hits you, a person lies to you, a person hurts you, for some reason, we, you know, not even for some reason, but women, we were born with the forgiving spirit. We always forgiven. I forgave him. We all work it out. But when you forgive somebody, whether man or woman, I just don't want to leave it as women, but when you forgive somebody, are you saying to this person that it's okay to slap me, it's okay to choke me, it's okay to call me a bitch or a hoe, it's okay to do that in front of my kids, it's okay for you to yell and throw me up against the wall, it's okay for you to put a knife to my throat? Okay, you put a knife to my throat and I survived it, you didn't kill me, that's okay. When you forgive somebody, ladies, men, I want y'all to really, really think about this hard. When you start forgiving people, even if somebody steals something from you, I know it says, you know, God says that you're supposed to be forgiving. Forgive. And I'm definitely not going to go against God's word.
But God didn't tell
right
you to forgive, though, did he?
Yeah, he did not
he
tell you
to forgive.
Yes.
And
he
a
said,
number of times,
God.
More times the number is astronomical. More times than what you really would ever have to forgive in your life. But in that scripture, throughout that whole point of instruction for life, it was nothing about forget.
Mm.
Nothing about forgetting whatever happened. Because a lot of times, something can happen, and yeah, you forgive someone. And you go on, and then you know it'll start repeating.
Yeah.
So
they'd be
if
like,
it
oh,
starts repeating, then that something that somewhere along the line, one and one should add up to two.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I forgave a situation like this. It's not the same situation, but it's very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, you know, that you're going to forgive someone for the same offense and they don't seem to be trying to make any kind of improvement?
I feel like if you forgive somebody for hitting you or if you forgive some any domestic violence situation, if you still forgive somebody for hitting you or causing you any type of harm, stealing from you or whatever the case may be, you just telling them it's okay to do it again. It's okay to do it again. If I punched you in the face and you forgive me because I was at that point, I was angry about something and I couldn't control my emotions, and I'm feeling like I couldn't communicate right. The only way I feel like I know to communicate is to punch you. The next time we get into something, I'm going to punch you again. Because then I go back to the same thing we went through again, especially a person with an anger problem. Like you said, going back to their past history, something going on, you know, that they are an abusive person, they abuse you. If you've forgiven somebody for punching you, then you let them know it's okay. But if not for nothing, if they hitting on you, then it goes to them beating on the kids.
See, this
I mean,
is the thing.
Yeah.
Forgive me for interrupting you, but
that's all right.
If you don't regard yourself, you could love your children to the nth degree. But if you don't have any regard for yourself, not all too many times, not every woman, but all too many times, a woman will not defend the child.
Hmm.
Especially if it's in an abusive situation, because you know you're going to get beat down.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing of it is, once you begin to accept getting hit, if you're a woman and you got a child from a previous relationship and you're involved with a man and he hits you, you can best believe that the next step is he's going to hit the child. He's either going to start off hitting the child or he's going to start off hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
If he hits you first, your child is certain to come along somewhere along that line and get a hit. So the best thing for you to do is leave. Because, and this is the thing about domestic violence, whether it's coming from a woman or a man, most instances is coming from a man. They're like predators. Or you could say they're predators because they know what type of woman they can prey on with that hitting and what type they can't. And if they make a mistake and hit a woman that'll hit back, then it becomes, oh, I got to show you that I'm a man. I got to beat you down to the point where if I hit you, you ain't going to even think about hitting me back.
You got to back down.
Okay. So, right, make you back down. So, when you get involved in a situation like that, the best thing to do is leave. Because either you or your child will get severely injured or killed, or you're going to wind up having to kill somebody else.
And let's not forget that your child can get taken away from you.
Child services can come in and take your child away from you.
They will take your kids away from you. And guess what that man going to be? He's going to be gone. And you're going to be fighting with the court by yourself to get back your child that never was his in the beginning. You know, and a lot of times, like the whole Precious movie, I love that movie. I love that movie because it's so raw. And Monique, I love you. Shout out to Monique. Mariah Carey, everybody that played a part in that movie. And there was the part where she was talking to the caseworker, and the caseworker was like, let's talk about the abuse. Where Mariah Carey was like, let's talk about the abuse and the sexual abuse, what happened with Precious. And she was saying how, you know, Precious was a little girl, and they was laying in the bed, and they was doing it, and then he reached over and he touched your baby. And she said, Charles, what you doing? And he told her to shut her fat ass up. But then after that, he started molesting Precious. Precious had two kids. And she, you know, the mother, which Monique played, that she just kept saying is, you know, I just wanted to keep my man. I wanted to make him happy. I didn't want him to leave us or whatever the case may be. And he ended up leaving anyway.
See, her self-worth was hung up in the fact that if she didn't have a man, she didn't have any self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where she stopped viewing her daughter as her daughter and start viewing her as another woman competing for the attentions of her man. That is sick.
I definitely, you're right about that. I want to get Rocker Block's opinion on this whole situation. Rocker Block, can you hear me?
Yeah. I wanted to say when you look at domestic violence, some people don't realize that when if you're in the hood, let's say, for instance, you're in the hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
This particular domestic violence is always a mixed domestic violence. Like, what I mean is the woman could be the breadwinner and the man is not. So in order for him to feel more like a man, he has to beat on her. You know, he has to be all these kind of manly things to do to
control her.
Pretty much. Now, in a middle class or a high class situation, somebody up in the suburbs, he could be the breadwinner, and he needs her to stay home all the time. If she's not listening, she wants to go shopping with her friends. So when she come home, you've seen this in the movies, one of the Tyler Perry movies, and she, you know, she gets beat because.
Yeah, why did I get married?
Right. You see what I'm saying? So it's never a level playing ground in the relationship. There's always somebody either too high or somebody is either too low, and somebody wants to climb up or somebody wants to, you know, come down, needs to come down and stop being so high on their high horse. You see what I'm saying? So it's never a level playing field. You never hear a situation where the playing field was level and something went wrong. It was never the case. It's always an uneven level playing field. So, and I feel like if everybody would just find Christ and walk in the right path with Christ and find Jesus and pray every day and you know, listen to the Holy Spirit, do what it tells you to do and stop playing. When you're in a relationship, a real relationship, things will work out because you listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points out the red flag. You can look at somebody and don't even want to hug that person because the Holy Spirit said don't touch that person. You can just feel the magnetic feeling. It's like that. I experienced it. You know what I mean? And so that's what I wanted to say, though.
I wanted to piggyback off of what you were saying about the whole hood violence situation, because just as well as I've seen men beat on women, when it's on the women's foot, the woman is working, she's being a sole provider, she talks to the man like he's not nothing. Like, nothing. And I mean literally talking to him like, well, you ain't doing this and you ain't doing that, you should stay here with these kids or whatever, he ain't get up and do this or whatever, and when you gonna get a job, and when you gonna do this, and when you gonna do that. And I started to see these men, you know, they start to go from really men to just being little boy-minded, not having no aspirations, not having no, you know, determination to get up and do something and go to school. A lot of people out here, a lot of women be like, what happened to all the real men? What happened to this? What happened to that? But before you start asking what happened to the real men, remember this, behind every strong man, there's a strong woman. And if you're not being supportive of your mate, and I'm saying this for to the females, to their men, if you frustrated with your dude, now when you got with him, he ain't had no job and no money, and he was at his mama or his sister's house, what makes you think that you going to come in with your S on your chest, with your cape on, and then magically sprinkle some damn, give some pixie dust on him and he's going to change? You need to be supported. If it gets to the point that you feel like, yo, he don't work, he don't want to do nothing, he don't want to make nothing of himself, all he want to do is chill with his homeboys and get smoked out or drink or whatever the case may be, then you need to leave. Because what's going to happen is you end up losing respect for him. And once you lose that respect, you start talking reckless to him, asking him, like, you know, looking at him sideways, and he he know and he feel the energy. As soon as he walk in the house, when he lay down with you in the bed, he feel it. And then he going around his peoples or his dudes that's, you know, they the head of the house and they going to work and they taking care of their family or whatever the case may be. And he's seeing what a man is supposed to be and it's hurting him in the inside that he's not within that image. He wants to be what he sees. And if you sitting there tearing him down, talking about, oh, you don't want to do nothing, you don't want to work, you don't want to go to school, what you do today, how many applications you filled out, or whatever the case may be, if it gets to that point in the relationship that you have to do it, girl, it is time to go. It is time to give him your walking papers. And too many times I keep seeing, and I have done this, where you let the man come and live with you. Do not let a man come and live with you that is not, first of all, financially stable to help you with these bills. Because that's what you wanted him to come in. That's one of the things. Oh, it's all right. I'm in love with him. We have a great relationship. He makes me feel good. It will be nice to have another adult in the house that we can be able to split the bills and help me out with the kids while I'm at work and pick them up from school or drop them off or whatever the case may be, or watch him when I work at night. Whatever the case may be, if he is not on his ball like you, then there is no need for that person to be moving in your house and vice versa for the males. There is no reason for a woman to be in your house that is not doing anything for herself. And then we get to a point, we didn't move them in the house now. Now we like, dang, they ain't got nowhere to go. Their family ain't got no love for them. They ain't know nobody want to help them. I'm the only one they got. That's a damn lie. That's a lie. It's too many help services, shelters. There's money even put to the side, government money to help you if you homeless. The people that's homeless that you see on the streets is most likely the people who don't want to be in a shelter. They already either have some issues or they have an addiction. And that's real talk right there. Y'all got to, you know, not even y'all, we got to start realizing these things, because we get together in these relationships and then we end up either getting pregnant or the male getting the girl pregnant, and now it's the baby coming into this world. And it's sad that 90% of black African relationships do not last throughout the pregnancy. 90% of relationships, and I'm not even just going to say black, but for what I'm saying, I'm just going to say relationships. Once you get pregnant and throughout the pregnancy, 90% of relationships don't last. They end up breaking up and breaking off. And now here you are, left alone, because you have found out either he's cheating while you was pregnant or you done drove him damn crazy while you was pregnant, and your relationship is took the change for the worse. And now y'all not together. So now y'all not communicating because y'all not together. And guess what happens? He's with the next chick and you down at child support. And that's just another hindrance. You started off in the relationship wanting to help him and, you know, wanted to be together, but now y'all are enemies. Because now you at welfare and you trying to get help. And welfare like, all right, well, where is the father at? And we need his information. And he ain't got to be around, but guess what? We can show put him on child support, and he will be backed up in child support. And now it's getting to the point that they put a warrant out for these men arrest. And they locking them up. Because either the men not paying the child support, or either they just doing them like, you know what, I ain't deep for her. I don't want to have nothing to do with her. I don't need her. Her mess. A lot of us say we heard it. Go ahead.
Can I say something here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, and most of the time, a lot of time it is applied to men, but it's really sex, sexual gender has nothing to do with it. If a person is not trying to help themselves, then you can't help them. Mm-hmm. So if you run into someone in whatever situation they're in, and you see that they're not trying to help themselves get out of it, don't go jumping into that thinking that you owe that, whether you're the man or the woman.
and you can make a difference, and they're going to, you know, everything's going to turn to how you want it, because you're living a fantasy. It doesn't go that way. If a person, whatever type of a situation a person is in, they must first want to get out of it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first criteria. The next thing of it is, there's some hardcore issues that we as a group of people need to acknowledge. Okay? We don't need to have my baby daddy drama or my baby mama drama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this has a lot to do with individual responsibility. If you get with someone and out of your relationship, whether the relationship goes any further, you two have together created a life.
Mm-hmm.
You should be, man or woman, or man and woman, you should be responsible enough to acknowledge, okay, whatever we thought we had going, we don't. We can't get along. We don't be together, but we have a child together, and we have an obligation and a responsibility to our offspring. When you get that type of mentality going, then a lot of the stuff, ongoing stuff that comes from getting together and creating a child and then acting all stupid afterwards and ruining this kid's life and creating this drama again for another generation, that will stop.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who do it, who have done it. It has been done. It has been done in my generation. When we were younger, there were people who did it. My children's generation, there are people who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize the fact that, okay, we as a couple, we can't make it, but we have a child together. I can be that father to that child. And I can be that mother to that child. And I can teach my child how to respect his father.
Mm-hmm.
Or teach my child to have respect for their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we are together isn't an issue.
I think the whole pride situation with two people that were together and so in love or, you know, caught up or whatever the case may be, when it gets to that point, you know, your pride is too much to say, you know what, it ain't working out. I love you and I care for you, but we not, you know, we breaking off. And, you know, when the whole fight happens and then afterwards I ain't calling her and, you know, I ain't calling him, you know, you want to pick up the phone or whatever, make that call and say, look, I'm just calling to talk to you. I'm not calling to yell. But we made a baby together, and I want us to work together. I don't want, you know, our child growing up not knowing you or having any ill feelings towards you. And it's sometimes you get a lot of cases, which has just popped in my head, like, well, what about when the girlfriend get pregnant or whatever, and it'd be like, oh, that ain't my baby, and such said you was messing with old boy. That's immaturity. Point blank, period, but you can still come at that person and be like,
well, you know what?
That's
mm-hmm. Excuse me. That's what they, if you feel like maybe someone wasn't being, you know, just being with you, then what you should do is get the test.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get the test.
But what about the girl being bitter after all those months she just found out she's pregnant? Now he's talking about, this ain't my baby, is you crazy, girl? Like, you bugging. Now she bitter. Now, because first of all, she was in love with him. She wanted to be with him, have a baby. Now he's telling her that ain't his baby. Now she bitter over all those months and decide, well, I don't need him. And he don't need to be in my baby life. and I don't need to say nothing. After they won't get that damn test unless until it gets to the point that they need help or whatever, or they're getting assistance or whatever. That's when that test comes into play. That's for sure. Because a woman, we can be so bitter and hold on to some stuff, and we would never talk to a certain individual, especially if they hurt us, hurt our feelings so bad, especially when you're in love with somebody. I know women now to this day that got kids, and the kids is 12 years old now. And since that time that he said that baby wasn't his, when she was 3 months pregnant, she ain't had no words for him or nothing. They still haven't spoken over 12 years. And that's crazy, because so many times we be looking for, you know, too much in our men. The men, your man is not your father. But sometimes it happens. A lot of us go up without father figures, without the father being there, without anybody really caring for us. And then when we get with the dude, now we want him to be our man and our father. That's why I really wasn't, I'm still not beat off a woman calling her man daddy. But Mary J. Blige did it. She said it. She made a song about it called The Father in You. We're going to get into that song. But she did a song about it, and it was explaining, you know, how she was looking to see in the father in this one individual. Again, it's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You're tuned in live to Diva Spot Radio ENT. I want to hear your comments. I definitely want to hear your stories. Call in at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And I also got the live chat up. So go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpotENT and click right on the link where it says live chat. Let's get into the music. Nice. Give me 1 second. I definitely don't want no dead air, but I'm definitely going to get this song into play because it's very, very, very important.
When I was a
father and you my brother. Oh, you really need a father.
Welcome back, y'all. This is Diva Spot Radio and live at www.blogtalkradio.com. I definitely want to give a shout-out to blogtalkradio.com. This is a good palette for those who are ready to get themselves out there and to do business. If you really doing business and you want your voice to be heard in whatever you're doing, check out www.blogtalkradio.com. And look at the premium services, and it's so worth it. But I just want to just say that song by Mary, The Father and You, that song was deep. When I first heard that song, I was like, wow, The Father and You. She was saying in that song how, you know, she didn't have a father there. You know, she was scared to be alone. And a lot of women feel like that. Her father was home as a little girl, and it was obvious that nobody taught him how to be a father. And that's what Nedra was saying about repeating this whole cycle thing. It's so, so important for us to communicate and to communicate the right way. And even what Rocka Block was saying is keep God first. Seek him. You don't need to get acceptance from your mate. If you haven't put God first, then you really going down a road of destruction. It's going to be hell to pay. You're going to be kicking that can down that street with bare feet for a long time. Trust me, I have kicked that can because so many times God took a second seat. He took the back seat of the things that I had, that I felt was so important for me to do within that day. Getting up, worrying about my kids and my lights and my bills and my business and let alone my man and cooking and whatnot. The first, every morning when I wake up now, I have my women's Bible. It gives me a verse. It gives me a word. It gives me a short little passage. It gives me a way to apply it, and it also gives you a prayer. I would recommend to everybody out there to get you a personal Bible, even if it's just a small thing as far as the daily bread. Whatever the God of your understanding is, the first thing you get up in the morning before you eat anything, before you wash your face and brush your teeth, pick up that Bible and feed yourself spiritually first, because not only are you feeding your spirit, you're covering yourself for the worldly mess that you're about to go out into. And it can be worldly mess in your house before you even step out the door. Early in the morning, your kid, your spouse, the dog, the lights, the landlord didn't fix something. You want to cover yourself. You want to feed yourself spiritually. You want to cover yourself with the blood before anything. It's so important. It's so important. My heart goes out to the women and the men right now that's in so much of a bad situation that they just don't know what they going to do. Some people even go as far as getting suicidal. We had the young lady in, where was that, Rocka Block? Ohio. She killed her two kids, and she killed herself. 5 years old and 18 months old. We don't know what was going on through that woman's head or what happened. And the fathers, it was two different fathers, it was two different counties. You know, they didn't even release this woman's name because of they haven't contacted the fathers at that time. You got to really start putting your God first. Because if you do so much, I'm talking about so many doors were open, and everybody talk about, oh, knocking at the door opportunity. Let's go to the window of opportunity. That way you can see clearly out that window the blessing that God has for you. I'd rather look out the window and see the blessings coming to me rather than waiting on somebody to knock on that door to open it up. Because if I'm looking out that window, I know exactly when them opportunities, when them blessings is there.
or I can feel them. Because I get up and I talk to God. Your relationship with God should be so strong. Like, it should be like food. But I'm not saying that it's going to happen overnight, because it's not. It took me a minute to get it together. Both Nedra and Rocker Block have seen me grow and blossom into this show. I moved all the way on the West Coast. I moved all the way from New Jersey to Seattle, Washington, man. And they both have seen, and I have to say this, I love y'all so much, because y'all watch me grow. And y'all stood by me. Even when I had my jacked up thinking, and when I was lying to myself, and in the midst of all my BS, these is true friends, true people who love me, because they stuck through. And now the reward is now to me being here where I am, live, Diva Spot Radio, Diva Spot ENT Radio, and we talking about domestic violence. It's so important for you to know that you have worth in yourself. You are made in God's image. Don't you know that you're perfect? If you don't know you're perfect, I'm going to tell you you're perfect. You're perfect just the way that you are. From your hair, if your hair is coarse and nappy, if your teeth is crooked, if you got a cock eye, if you're 500 to 600 pounds, you are perfect, and you are loved.
That's right.
We got to keep you. And that's what it takes. It took for... You know, as far as with the whole domestic violence situation, because your whole self-esteem can hit to zero. Nedra and Rocker Block always told me, you know what, Ebony, you're destined for success. You're a very beautiful woman. You're a very smart young woman. Build your friends up. If you see them in a jacked-up situation and you see them all messed up, you know, don't be like, yo, you stupid, yo, you dumb. Don't tell them that they stupid or they dumb. Just keep encouraging them. Keep helping them. Keep being an advocate for them. And me talking about advocate, I wanted to get into the story. It says, woman who helped domestic violence victim kill. And this was in Louisville. It was on Fox 41, Louisville, Kentucky, Indiana News Weather Report. It says, people are asking around Frankfort, Kentucky, who would want to kill Toma Graves. It says, Marty Perry works next door to the crime scene where her body was found, and he told Fox 41 that the incidents like this that had happened, to my knowledge, haven't been directed at people randomly. It's people who have disputes with each other, it seems like this happens to. Now, as a victim advocate, Graves worked closely with victims of domestic violence. She was the director of the Crime Victims Assistance Program and dealt with some horrible crimes on a daily basis. Now, Graves, her body was found inside a pickup truck in the parking lot of a funeral home, and she had been shot. Now, Frankfort Police Major Fire Director tells Fox 21 the family members had missed her and sometime Sunday evening had reported her missing. And at the time, they had told the officers that they had last heard from her around 8 o'clock Saturday morning. So that was 24 hours. Now, Graves worked closely with the county police and the county attorney, and she was assigned to these type of situations. Now, Sparks tells me, said, I had no idea what this has to do with. I don't know what's going on, and I don't know where to start to look for leads. This advocate was killed. She was shot, put in the back of a pickup truck, and left in the parking lot of a funeral home. And to this day, they have not found her killer, y'all. They have not found who killed this lady who dedicated her life and her time to domestic violence victims.
That's sad.
That's crazy. That's sad. So be very careful when you helping a person who is in a domestic violence situation. That's why I said it's so important for you to educate yourself. And I gave the number to the National Domestic Violence Hotline. It's 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. You want to talk with a professional first before you go and kick in the door waving the 4-4. You want to talk to them first because you can be putting yourself and your life in danger. And for those people who are in a domestic violence situation, I'm bringing this to light because I want y'all to see what can happen, not only to you, but for the people who are trying to help you, for the people who care about you, for the people who love you. Not only do you have to first protect yourself, protect your kids, but think about protect the people that care and want to help you out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
He done went upside your head and knotted you up, and you know what, I can call Ebony up, and I'm going to go to Ebony's house with the kids for the night. But are you really going, you just coming for the night, are you coming over here so you can be able to get some help and get better and get away from this person and get this person out of your life? Because he can come for me too. Oh,
that's
he ain't do nothing but run over there with Ebony ass. You know, I can't stand her no way, so I'll kill her, and I'm killing Ebony too.
That's right. Now, you know something else too? When you want to help out somebody in domestic violence, you could be there, you could be watching the dude or the woman, you know, getting abused, and at the same time, you want to help, and then what you should do is go to the proper authorities, because if you don't want to get your friend or your family member too involved, because
mm-hmm.
not only if your family or friend could be crazier than the abuser, and then now your family or friend ends up in jail or dead themselves. You know what I'm saying? So you want to go to the proper authorities, and that way it's easier for that person to end up to get put away for a period of time where you can get yourself together and handle your business and maybe even move out. Or
but they're too scared to go to. They're too scared to go to the proper authorities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best that they can do is run to some family member or some friend.
Yeah,
now,
but like Ebony said, you get put in danger because that same person knows exactly where you're going to run to. And as crazy as he is or she is, they'll go and kill everybody in that house. Just so she won't have anywhere to go.
Well, there's one thing about crazy, and there's one thing about acting crazy. And like I was saying before, people know who they can do what to. If you go run into some, if they know where you went running to, and the person that you ran to is a totally different type of personality than you, they're not going to go run into that person's house after you. They're going to wait till you settle down, bring yourself back home, and maybe whip on you some more because you went there. But if they know they're going to a house of someone that will confront them with their foolishness, they're not going to do that. Because they're looking for an easy passage. They're looking for someone that they can get their stuff off on. Because they're a sick person, but they're not that sick, and they're not stupid, and they're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they know what's going on. I feel like they know what's happening. If you go, if I'm abusing Ebony, and Ebony goes to Ra-Ra's house, I know I don't want to go to Ra-Ra's house because I know Ra-Ra crazy, so I stay home and wait for her here. But if I know Ebony's going to Nedra's house, and I know Nedra can't do nothing.
Well, maybe Nedra crazy too. You know, just because. Wait now.
Rock.
What
rock,
I'm trying to say. Say it again.
Rock a block.
Rock a block. Just because it's a woman, that don't mean she's not crazy. Because there are men who have abused their wives or their girlfriend or whatever, they abused the woman in their life, and they go to some other woman's house, but they know that woman, so they're not going there to mess with her.
She going to turn it
there.
Up when I get there.
They're going to wait till she settle down and think he done cool down and creep on home and then beat on her behind for running. But when you get somebody when you get somebody showing on your doorstep, or beat up, bruised up, especially if they got kids, you know, all you have to do is just excuse yourself, you know, make them comfortable, excuse yourself into another area of the house and call the authorities and have them come to your house. Because then when the authorities show up at your house, this is the condition she showed up in, so forth and so on. Whether that person wants to file a domestic dispute or not, they, you know, the onus is really on them at that point in time. Because you got the authorities right there. They can see the condition that you're in.
And I, you know what, I think that's a smart, smart move. And you right about that, because if my sister showed up at my doorstep, beat all up, my first instinct is to go and knock her husband's head off. I'm going to be so mad, and I'm glad that you said that, and that's just dropping the jewel. And I definitely understand what Rocker Block was saying. He was like, yo, you know, she can run over there, but I ain't scared of them either, and they don't pump no fear in my heart. You know,
yeah.
But that's a real good move right there. Get them comfortable, get them settled, and then you call the authorities. Because regardless if she's pressing charges against this person or not, the state is going to pick it up, and it needs to be reported. And so many times, women do not report the abuse that they're facing from this person, and sometimes that one call can really can save their life, because a punk, any person that beats on a person is a punk. And they most likely, and a lot, not even most likely, they afraid of the authority. You know, they afraid of going to being locked up. They act like they the big man in the house or whatever the case may be. But as soon as you call the police, they go scared, running scared. But that's a good move. If anybody ever showed up, and I thank you for that, Nedra, if anybody ever showed up at your door, whether it's a family member or not, you don't say nothing. You be like, girl, come on here, let's get the kids something to eat or whatever, get them comfortable, get you settled, go to a private place in the house and call the police. Because she can be all beat up, and you know, you don't know how crazy this person is as well. The domestic violence person can be crazy as hell too. And they at your house and they say, you beat them up. She did this to me. He did this to me, trying to protect that person. You never know what situation, and I'm glad that and God is working. I thank you, God, for covering my show with the flood. God is working. When somebody shows, you call the police, and you ain't got to tell them, like, look, I'm calling. You call them anyway, because if you know somebody.
No, don't tell them, because if you tell them, oh, no, don't call them. Oh, no, no, I don't want to, or whatever. Or they're so entrenched in their own fear. And if you handle it, you step into it. See, because I know my personality. I know I could not confront someone because someone's going to get hurt. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't get hurt, but you ain't going to do all the hurting and don't sustain any yourself. So we're going to be hurt together. We're going to be alive and hurt together, or we're going to be dead and permanently hurt. But I ain't going there by myself.
Dennis said, I ain't going out by myself.
See, but every person doesn't feel that way, especially women. Every woman doesn't, you know, doesn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, you can be sisters.
Yeah.
I mean, I just looked, what was it? Was it Friday or Thursday? It was Thursday. And I watched Oprah's show when she had Tyler on, and the abuse that he suffered from his own father, and the mother took the abuse too. But it sounds as though out of all the children that she had for him, that he abused him the worst. He hated him.
Mm.
He hated his own son, and. Mm. His aunt, the aunt that he got the character Madea, because she's the gun toter.
She's the gun toter. She said
she's
it all.
She's a gun toter. Okay? And he, you know, this is her own sister. She said, I'm not like that. I don't know where she got that from.
Hmm.
Okay? When you dealing with someone who is that fearful of someone that they will allow them to beat the crap out of themselves, beat the crap out of their child, with me, you know, you're not going to physically abuse me. Now, I'm not taking any physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I only had one individual, one man, to find that out. And that was not the man I married or the one that fathered my children, because he knew better.
Because mm-hmm.
I told him, if I'm going to hit you, you're going to hit the floor. You better have them come pick me up on the floor, put me in the box, put me in the ground, because anything short of that, whenever and wherever I see you, your ass is mine. And I meant everywhere that's that.
You know what? I feel the same way. I'm not going to sit here in front, Desiree. I will set it off on you. And I will, me personally, I try to de-escalate situations. I will leave you alone rather than going further on into this whole physical abuse, me beating on you, beating on me. But I'm telling you, if you hit me, you better either knock me out or kill me. Because once I see you, it's going down. And it's sad to have, you know, and I'm definitely going to pray on that just to have to want to retaliate on a person. But there's no reason for you to hit me. My mouth is very, very quick. I can cut you with my words. I can cut you down with my words. And women, we have mastered that, because some of us is just crazy and a lot of us own guns. And that's my thing, too, because they not showing no sympathy for us, y'all. Oh, he beat me, he abused me, he sexually, you know, molested me, he raped me, and all this time, all these years. And the first thing the judge is going to say, why you didn't get no help? You're still getting a manslaughter charge. You may not get murder, but I'm going to tell you, you're getting manslaughter. I don't know how many years that carry, but you get in that top. And for those who are just tuning in, you tuned in live to Diva Spot Radio, and we're talking about domestic violence. We're talking about, you know, the steps of, you know, what can happen with you when you helping somebody, or if you either a domestic violence victim, and how, you know, what can happen. And just to recap, if you are a domestic violence victim and you seeking some help and you want to get out of this situation, you can call 1-800-799-7233. This is the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and they'll be able to help you out. Also, if you know somebody that's in that situation, again, you can call 1-800-799-7233. That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and they'll help you. And if you're hearing impaired, they have another here. And I have a question. What does TPY stand for?
Oh, that's for those that I don't know exactly what the initials stand for, but that's for the people who are domestic impaired. What it is, maybe it's a special setup, like if they own a telephone or something like that. That what's mm-hmm. being said gets translated and typewritten so that they could read it.
All right. So if you are hearing impaired, or you know, you can call this number, 1-800-787-3224. I'm going to post that on the line because, you know, if you're not necessarily deaf or if you have hard of hearing, you can call it 1-800-787-3224. That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. But for those who are in a situation and on the outside looking in and on the inside looking out, you want to think about your kids, you want to think about the people around you, and it's all about safety. It's so many programs that's going on. Sanity Girls, follow them at Sanity Girls with Sanity _ Girls, GURLZ, at twitter.com. I had them on the show yesterday. Very classy women, very great breed of women, and they models and they business women, but what they're doing over there in the East Coast is they're trying to raise money to open up a center for domestic violence victims, and, you know, to be able to help them improve their self-esteem and build them up. And another thing that we do with Mary Kay, because for all you know that knows me, I am an independent beauty consultant with Mary Kay. We have parties with a purpose. And when we have these parties with a purpose, some of the proceeds go to domestic violence. Mary Kay, we have a big, big foundation that fights against domestic violence against women and children. So when a Mary Kay lady comes up to you, if you know a Mary Kay lady, if you go to a Mary Kay site, do us all a favor and yourself a favor. It's have a Mary Kay party, party with a purpose against domestic violence. That is so great because it's two in one. Not only are you having a good time, you're getting a beauty consultant to come over to give you and all your divas a free skincare and cosmetic facials. Y'all having a pamper party. And wouldn't it feel even more better to know that some of the proceeds is going to support against domestic violence against women and children? They even have, I don't know, I know it's a Mary Kay house that they built, but I can't think of it where it is. But every year, Mary Kay takes those proceeds that they collect and they donate it to shelters, to women's shelters. That money goes somewhere. It's so great, and I love my Mary Kay business. I love what it stands for. I love how it makes me feel. I love how it makes my skin feel. I love my mineral eye colors. I love everything. Go to my website, and I also, and I said online and on Twitter and on Facebook that I was going to have a special giveaway. If you go to my website, www.marykay.com/ebonyangel, and you register with me, I have a special gift for you. And not only do I have a special gift for you, I also have a free facial and a free pampering session for you. So no matter where you are in the world, it doesn't matter that I'm in Washington, but no matter where you are in the world, if you go ahead and register with me online, I'll make sure you get your special gift, and I'll also make sure we get a representative out. I mean, a representative will contact when you come out, and that will give you a free facial. It's for you. And why not go ahead and have a party? Not only are you helping yourself, you're helping other women that's going through something. It's all about helping y'all. And that's another way of being able to get something. You got to give to get, and you got to give wholeheartedly. I'm not giving y'all this information, and I don't do these shows because I want something from you. No, I'm doing it from the bottom of my heart because I love what I do. I love what I do. And me having an own personal experience with my own sister being beat to death while her two daughters in the next room, her two daughters didn't even pay no mind. They found her the next afternoon because the kids was outside. The neighbors found her. She probably could have been saved. She probably was in a coma or something. She probably could have been saved, but the blows to the head and her hemorrhaging and not getting any medical assistance, she died. She died, y'all. I want y'all to think about this. She died. She'll never, ever see her daughters again. She'll never, ever see her nephews, my son. She'll never, ever see my father. She will never, ever see anybody ever again because she gone. And ain't no bringing her back. But we have to be very, very careful when we ask people that we help in a person that's in a domestic violence situation because our life can get taken as well. Your life can get taken as well. You can be going in 60 seconds trying to help somebody. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
TTY stands for text, telephone, or telephone typewriter.
Thank you.
Sorry to switch the subject.
No, it's each one, piece one. You know how we do on Diva Spot ENT. Now, say it again.
It's text, telephone, or telephone typewriter. So pretty much TTY allows deaf and hearing impaired users to communicate over conventional telephone lines. Users of a TTY device type text into a specialized device, and this text gets to a TTY device on the other end. But you have to have a TTY device, too, so you can type the text into their TTY device. So if you see TTY device somewhere or TTY somewhere, that means that person or that company has that device. So if you have that device too, then you can communicate. The deaf can communicate.
The deaf can communicate. So if you deaf, you can have this a special phone on there. You can have a special phone and it has that service on there. So what happens is they'll call the number and they'll text you back and you can read it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to
exactly
upgrade Rock and Block because it's a shame that I'm 28 years old and I didn't know what that means.
Yeah.
But again, it's each one teach one on the show. You learn something every day. You learn something new every day, and it's always good to always educate yourself. And again, when you're dealing with people who are in a domestic violence situation or if you're in a domestic violence situation, you want to educate yourself as much as you can. And another thing that I seen and I glanced when I was online looking up health services is if your computer or your cell phone is monitored by your abuser, you want to find a safe place where you can go and use a telephone. If you're taking or dropping your kids off somewhere at school, you may want to ask the person in the office, can I use your phone, please? A lot of us, you know, a person that's being abused under domestic violence, I have to say, you know, they are a jack of all, what I'm saying, of disguises. They can disguise very well that they're being abused. A master of disguise. They can disguise very well that they're being abused and they're being hurt. But I want to get into some more music. I'm about to get into Monica Still Standing because this is a beautiful song. It's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You're now tuning in live to Diva Spot Radio. Let's go, y'all.
Mama always told me, baby, you gotta walk by faith and not by sight. Real talk, you gotta listen.
with liberty, and I put my name in the history book, so you'll forever remember me. Remember me as the toughest warrior or the ultimate fighter, cause I'm the truth and nothing but it, like my hands on the Bible. And this is survival of the fittest. The realest is not a facade, still standing on my 2 feet, cause I'm a child of God. Do so.
Welcome back, y'all. It's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You are now tuned in live to Diva Spot Radio ENT. And, you know, we've been talking about this whole domestic violence situation. You know, I want to just say, you know, my prayers go out to Nikki McFadden family. My prayers go out to Miss Allen family, a.k.a. Missy, and also to Toma Gray's family. And for those who don't know, you know, that haven't heard of these people, Nikki and Miss Allen both were killed by boyfriends. Nikki was going to, Nikki McFadden, she was going to break it off with her boyfriend in North Carolina. And he ended up shooting her in the back of the head. Not only that, taking her body with his girlfriend, his current girlfriend, they took her body, put it in her car, and set her car on fire. And after that, they went home and had sex. She was going down there to break it off with this guy, most likely because she knew about the other woman and she couldn't take it no more, and she ended up losing her life. And Miss Allen, a.k.a. Missy, she was an attorney, a defense attorney, and she was dating her client, and her client ended up killing her and killing another male, McClinton, because he was going to testify against him. And even with Miss Toma Graves, Miss Toma Graves, she was the advocate out of Kentucky, and she was a domestic violence advocate. She had a really strong organization, and what ended up happening to her, she was shot. She was put into the back of a pickup truck, and the pickup truck was put into the parking lot of a funeral home. It's very, very important, you guys, that you take the time out to evaluate your current situation. Think about it if it's worth it. Think about it, is it worth losing your life? Think about it, is it worth your kids losing their life? And also think about it, is it worth the people who love you to lose their life? We have to stay strong, and we got to stay together. We have to stick together no matter what. And as Nedra said, if someone you know is in a domestic violence situation, they get beat up or they come to your house because of the situation, or if they were threatened with a knife or they were fighting, you welcome that person into your home, you get them comfortable, and you call the police. It doesn't matter what the situation, I don't care how, if they beg you or they say, please don't, just call, because you want it to be on record that this person or this person, or whatever the case may be, has assaulted this person, and it's not going to get any better because the person who's being abused is in fear. And we all know that fear can hold us back from a lot of success and opportunities. We know this. Fear holds people back in their businesses. Fear holds people back in their education. Fear holds people back from just protecting their kids and their life, period. We know this. I think it's so important that, you know, that we make sure we take the first step to being the voice for somebody. But we got to remember to protect ourselves, man. Mm-hmm. You got to protect yourself because you can use your life as well. We at the end of the hour of the show. We got about 8 minutes left. Rocker Block, what's your final thoughts on the topic today as far as domestic violence?
If you don't know where to go, if you're scared to go to the police, if you're scared to go to your family, your friends, your father, your mother, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, go to your pastor. Go to somebody at the church, on a deacon. That's somebody who can reach out, and nobody knows where you've gone or nothing like that, and talk to somebody. Let them know so that way they can keep an eye and investigate your house and be there for you, especially, you know, when you need them. And somebody can pray for you. You never know, that one prayer might help you. So, and always pray. And always pray. Pray, pray, pray.
Thank you, Rocker Block, for that. And Ezra, you want to give your final thought on this, on the domestic violence situation?
You know, even if you aren't in church, or you don't have a church affiliation, or maybe even if you don't believe in God, you may be a non-believer, but the church is a source of help. You can go there. Talk with the pastor and ask them to refer you to some sort of shelter so that you can remove yourself and your children out of harm's way, out of danger. There are shelters in every state. Or maybe you might want to even be out of state. But look into placing yourself and your children into a safe situation. If you don't want to go to the church, go to any social organization, or even go to the welfare. You don't have to be a welfare recipient to go and talk to a social worker at welfare, stating what you're in and that you need assistance with getting out, going to a shelter, and get yourself and your children out of it. Some women have been in situations, and this is not only just, this is all women, have been in situations so bad that they had to get out of state, not contact friends or family until they got their situation resolved. With getting a divorce, getting it on record that, you know, this person is abusive and so forth, you must have it on record. There's a movie that J-Lo made.
Well, you definitely right about that.
Enough.
You definitely want to make sure.
And when
that,
she finally got to the point where she wanted,
you know,
to go.
You make that change for the better. You make that change
right.
For you want to definitely get out of that situation. You know, it's been definitely a great show. Somehow, Ned, you got caught up, so I really can't hear you. But you want to get of that situation, and you want to make sure that, you know, you take the right steps. And the most important thing is prayer. And prayer does change things. It changes a lot of things in your life. And you never know how far you can go with that. You never know how much influence it can be, but prayer does change things. And I want you guys to tune in tomorrow, 6 p.m. West Coast time, 9 p.m. East Coast time for Soulful Sundays, and we definitely going to be feeding the spirit tomorrow. And that's the first show for Soulful Sundays. I've added it as an addition to the show on Diva Spot ENT Radio, because I knew that it was very, very, very important, and I want to give a shout-out to Marketing Ministries. I also want to thank Rocker Block and Nedra for coming on the show. I appreciate your love, and I appreciate the support over the show. I want to give a shout-out to my sponsors, FutureGuru100, MaryKay.com, $8 daily, Mr. Keith Mollett, and our new sponsors, Mommy Moms. And as we get out of here, I have the perfect song for you guys, and it's actually by R. Kelly. And we know R. Kelly that been through some stuff, and it's called Prayer Changes. Again, it's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You're now tuning in live to Diva Spot ENT Radio. I love you guys, and I'm out.
Somebody just look back over your life and see where it brought you from. How many of you know prayer changes? I heard that prayer changes. I believe that prayer changes. I know that prayer changes things. Prayer changes. I heard that prayer changes. I believe that prayer changes. I know that prayer changes things. Now I was in a real bad abusive relationship, knowing that there was no way for me to live. A young girl like me, raised up in a good family, way too young to endure such misery. And every night I cry myself to sleep from all the pain. And the more I pray for sunny days, it seems to rain.
He hit me
at any given time,
he hit me
for no reason at all.
He hit me
so, so hard. My God, sometimes I fall. Mama asks what happened to me, and I take up for him. She said the devil's a liar, pray God get rid of him. And now I'm going to school, hitting those books, I'm doing fine. He got my life, I'm not confused, got peace of mind. Man, I tell you,
prayer changed,
it changed.
Prayer changed,
oh, it changed.
Prayer changes,
I'm a witness.
Prayer changes,
that I know.
Prayer changed,
it changed.
Prayer changes,
it changed.
Prayer changes,
I'm a living witness.
Prayer changes things.
I was a freshman in college, and I had just made it on the basketball team.
Yeah.
I had all the skills it took to make it, but on my grades I would get nothing but all D's.
Whoa.
And the coach came to me and had a talk with me about my career. Said if you don't get your grades up, I'm gonna have to sit you down this year. Man, as tough as I was, I'd break down and cry. Cause everybody knows me, knows that basketball is my life.
Algebra,
I studied hard.
Chemistry,
I gave my all.
Calculus,
oh my God,
English,
so many flaws. Playing ball didn't look too good for me.
Yeah.
My future could not see.
Ooh.
I had lost all my beliefs,
uh-huh,
and gave up on all my dreams.
Ooh, yeah.
Then I went to church on Sunday,
uh-huh,
and the pastor began to preach.
Yeah.
It was like he was talking to me,
oh,
when he said I can do all things.
Ooh.
In Christ the strength and
ooh,
and for me that was enough.
Whoa.
Now I went from a D all the way to an A plus. I tell you,
prayer changes
things.
Prayer changes.
Prayer
changes.
It changes.
Prayer changes
things.
Prayer changes.
I'm a living witness.
Prayer changes things.
Me and my wife had a few problems. We thought that nothing could solve them. Listening to family members and so-called friends. Man, I tell you, that's just how the devil creeps in. We were separated at least for a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
She was wilding in the clubs, and I was out there doing wrong too.
Whoa.
And we would walk around the house,
yeah,
putting each other down.
Yeah.
I mean, right in front of the kids.
Yeah.
We would curse each other out. Then I was in a bad accident,
yeah,
and I almost lost my life.
Yeah.
And guess who was there for me? My wife. Now ain't it funny how he makes a way,
yeah,
when we said there was no way.
Yeah.
I'm out the hospital and back at home, planning another wedding day. I tell you,
prayer changed,
it changed.
Prayer changed,
prayer changed,
prayer changed,
prayer changed,
prayer